Go ahead, Ron.
Picture the stick in this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful day, isn't it? And it's wonderful, wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And it's one of those Sundays that I'm excited about because yesterday, as I was mentioning earlier in the morning meeting, and if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you're part of the family of God, you missed a banquet. You missed a fantastic banquet this morning together worshiping Jesus. It was absolutely awesome. And it was only a half hour, 35 minutes, but it was beautiful. So if you didn't make it and you know Jesus, come. But today we're going to be talking about something a little different. And I must say also, I really enjoyed Parkcrest at Cascades on Good Friday. We had a service and you were invited, and we had a few people from Parkcrest, and we had a wonderful worship time at Cascade Church. And here are the two of your members leading the worship at Cascades. It was absolutely awesome. And wasn't that wonderful worship this morning? Wow, I like it. I knew all the songs. I sang. I just about got a horse. Some of the churches I go to, I don't know any of the songs. And a lot of them, yeah, I can't sing. I just don't know the rhythm. But it was beautiful this morning. So thank all of you who led and worshiped this morning. Now, I've been asked to talk about the Noah and the flood. Now, I believe that's probably one of the first stories I ever heard 70 years ago. 17 years ago, I started in a little church in Boundary Road and 25th, and they talked about Noah and the Ark. Have you all heard about the story of Noah and the Ark? Let me see your hand. Some know some. Yeah, just about everybody. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But, I am not a theologian. I'm a practical theologian. A big difference. I like to be practical. And I looked at the story that was given to me, and I looked at the account of Noah and his family, and I said, Lord, I said, give me a message. Not for me, but for me and for the people at Parkhurst. Because I need a message for me, not just for you people. So I'm not pointing any fingers. Anything I said today, I pointed at me first, and I examined my life. And we're going to look at it in a completely different way. Now, Noah is one of the most interesting people mentioned in the Word of God. He was the 10th from Adam. So the Adam, Eve, he was 10th generation. He lived very early in the history of this world, of course. He was in the line of Adam's son, Seth. So he came from Seth. Noah had three sons, and he's from the line of Seth. Seth was the great grandson of Enoch, who walked with God, and the great grandson of the name who lived longer than any others. He was the son of Lamech. So Methuselah, lived longer than anybody else. So that's a lineage. That's theology. We're not going to go into that much, but we are going to look at the name means rest. Noah means rest. R-E-S-T. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that also. I'm going to read some of the verses in the Bible about Noah, because we're going to be talking the whole time about Noah. And I have 4 points in my sermon, and we're going to look at the 4 points. But first, we're going to get a little bit of an introduction. Who was this fellow? Well, we know about him and his wife and his children who went into the ark. We know all about that. We heard about that when we were in Sunday school. But who was this man really? What was his DNA? What was his real person inside? Well, Isaiah 54 and And I said, to me this is like the day of Noah when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's interesting. So like in the days of Noah, wickedness in the world. And the flood came, and it's going to be like when Jesus comes. I'm looking forward to it, are you? Even so come Lord Jesus. He's coming again. And he's coming for you if you know him, if you love him, if you're part of his family. I was thinking yesterday at the banquet, 70 years ago up on Emerald Island, I said to the Lord God Almighty, I said, Lord, come into my life. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I mean, I got all the Sunday school stuff, but I really didn't know. But I realized that if I wanted to go to heaven and not go to hell, sorry for saying the word, but it's in the Bible. It exists. If I wanted to go to heaven, I had to accept Jesus. So I, as a young kid, scrawny little kid, an orphan, living in different homes, two fathers and four mothers, and all that kind of stuff. But I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. I became part of the family of God. Woo! And I've never regretted it. And he's never left me. I've left him a few times. You know, I want to go the straight path, but I go to the left, or I go to the right. But he was always there. Always there. And this is his rule book. This is how I try to live. Do I live all the time like this? Do I try? Yes. So Hebrews 11:7, but by faith, Noah, by faith. See, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I didn't understand. And if you don't understand much about the Bible, that doesn't matter. All you have to realize is that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And we have to accept Jesus as our sacrifice, our Savior. And that's exactly by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And if you want to be saved, you've got to get into the ark. And the ark is really Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he will give you rest. Peace. Like we've been singing about. And then 1 Peter 3:20 says, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in those days of Noah while the ark was being built. So we've got to get into the ark. We've got to get into the ark to get away from judgment. If we don't get into the ark, we're going to have punishment. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He also walked faithfully with God. That's what I want. And I hope that you want to too. I hope you want to walk faithful. And we can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do I always walk faithfully? No. Because I take my eyes off of Jesus and put my eyes into the world. But how about this? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Am I faithful? Ask yourself. Don't ask about the person in front of you or beside you. Ask yourself, are you faithful? Are you a righteous person? Are you blameless? Do people look at you and say, wow, that gal, there's something different with that girl. She's got a glow. She's got something that I want. And many, many times it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Verse 12 says, God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. It was a wicked, it was like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, North America. The wickedness that goes on. yeah, there's a lot of good. I'm not negative. I'm a positive person. But there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of unrighteousness. There's a lot of going against the Word of God. But in the day of Noah, Noah was a righteous man. The world today is corrupt. You know it, I know it. Wars, rumors of wars. Look at Ukraine, Russia, Palestine. Wars all over the place. The world is in trouble. And as I said, I'm not one of those people who preach negatively. I'm saying what the world is, and you know it. Now, Noah, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why did he find favor in the eyes of the Lord? Why? Noah found favor with God because he was a righteous and a blameless in his generation. And because he walked with God, this means he lived a life of integrity and followed God's commandments. Isn't it? This is our map. I've got a map on my watch, but I've got other maps on my watch. I've got the Bible on my watch. I've got the Bible on my iPad. I got the Bible in my computer. I got the Bible in my hand. That's all good and well, but the most important thing is, do I have the Bible in my heart? That's where we have to have the Bible. It says in the Bible, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Or are you stagnant? Are you just, yes, I accepted Jesus, but that's it. We used to sing, and I won't sing it if you should all leave. Read your Bible, pray every day. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to read our Bible and pray every day. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generation. These are the points we're going to look at. Noah walked with God. Noah obeyed God. Noah waited on God. And Noah sacrificed to God. 4 points. And I want myself personally and each one of us to look at these and say, do I walk with God? Do I walk with God? Genesis 6:9 says, Noah was a righteous and blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now, what does it really mean to be walked with God? Are you walking with God? Or are you walking with the world? That's the question. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, explicit statement, you shall walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you. Genesis 5:24 describes Enoch as walking with God, highlighted in close and constant relationship. How is the relationship with Jesus? I've been married for 59 years coming up. 58 years now, but in a couple of weeks it'll be 59. 59 years, and I've walked with my wife, and I appreciate my wife, and we walk together. I've known the Lord for 70. I've walked with him, and sometimes I get off track, you know, bad. Sometimes I get a little rocky. There's difficulties in life. There's, especially when you're getting older. The young people say, well, you don't have any temptations anyway. You want to bet? We have all the same temptations when we're old as we're young in the world. Money, everything, belongings, things. But I want to walk with God daily, monthly, yearly. I want people to say to me, Ron, why do you do that? And I'll say, because the Bible says to do it. But Ron, why don't you come with us? Well, I just don't feel right. The Bible tells me I should do it, be there. You know, we can go to God 24/7. Even if the Wi-Fi is down, we can go to God. He's almost there. And he'll answer our prayers. People say, well, God's not answering our prayers, my prayers. I say, well, how much time do you spend in the Bible? Oh, well, I have no time. Lord, help me do this, that, and the other thing, but I have no time to spend with you. No. Deuteronomy says, you shall walk in all the ways of the Lord your God as commanded you. God commands us to walk with him. Sometimes we have to walk fast to keep up with him. Sometimes we have to slow down. But we are to walk with God. We are to be in communion with God. We are to have a relationship with God. It's a relationship. The essential of walking with the Lord is a metaphor for living a life of obedience, love, and fellowship. We are to have fellowship with God. In a real way. Not just some fairy tale or figuration or something, but in a real way, we are to walk with God. Are we walking with God? What a beautiful question, sir. In the sense of walking with God is a metaphor of living a life of obedience, love, and fellowship with God, characterized by consistently choosing his path and honoring his commandments. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. There's the definition of walking with God. You can examine yourself. Examine yourself. I have to examine myself. Here's a more detailed breakdown of where the concept is found in walking, what it means walking with God. And that's what we have to do, walk with God. The second, Noah obeyed God. Noah walked with God, but Noah obeyed God. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And you know what he did? He got the boat done, and he did all the right measurements, and he measured this, he measured that, he got this kind of wood and that kind of wood. All that. You've read about that when you were in Sunday school. But you've got to think yourself, are you obeying God? Am I obeying God? He was also obedient to God's command, building the ark as instructed, obedience. Obedience to God's instruction is built in building the ark exactly the way he said, but that's a stupid thing to do. Build an ark on land, and where's the ocean? No ocean. Where's the river? No river. He built the ark, and there was no river. I mean, you've got to have faith. You've got to be obedient. Sometimes God tells us things, God told me to do. He told me in 1967 to go to Quebec. I passed on Charlie grade 2, 4, and 6, and flunked grade 8 twice. I finally got my grade 12 a couple of years later. I had a hard time in school. And you can even tell the way I read the scriptures today when I'm talking. And God told me to go to Quebec. And I didn't even speak English right. I flunked English one every year. All those nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs. I had a terrible time. I had to go to summer school one year. But God told me to go to Quebec to preach. How do you preach when you don't speak the language? And so my wife and I got into Little Acadia. We got in a car, we'd been married 11 months, and we crossed Canada, 3,000 kilometers. Can you imagine? And that's only the Holy Spirit, but I was trying to obey God. And I walked into this print shop where we were going to work to help out, a missionary print shop, and the girl said, oh, you cross the bottom. I didn't know what bonjour commissaire was. And yet God used us. In order to just part of our city. With an accent, of course, and it's like my English, a lot of errors. But I preached there for 12 years, gave up 250,000 scriptures to hotels and motels and schools. Why? Because I was trying to obey God. Noah told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, leave your land, leave your friends, leave everything, and go. And he went. Are you obedient to God? And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded. And sometimes he commands us things to do difficult, like me. Commit. And then after 12 years, Rebecca, he said, Ron, I want you to go to Argentina. Can you imagine? Here I was trying to get my English up to par, get my French up to par, and he asked me to go to Argentina. We were there for 15 years. And I got to Argentina, and I said, holy kid, yeah, when I was 10, I looked at that people, I said, like a dummy. I was. But man knows what you're probably not saying. Or, I get mixed up sometimes. But that's okay. But God used me, and I didn't think I could do it. No, my wife's in a different story. She could be perfect French, perfect English, and perfect Spanish. But I have problems. But God used me. See, God is using my disability of speaking perfectly and my disability of pronouncing not perfectly, because people sit there and they listen. And they listen because they have to listen more. Are you obedient to God? Now, I give you a good two examples. I won't give you any examples where I wasn't obedient to God, because I don't like those times. I have to confess those sins. And isn't it wonderful if we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you obedient to God? The Bible repeatedly emphasizes the importance of obedience, particularly to God and His commandments. Several key passages highlight this theme, including Hebrews 13, 17, Romans 13, 1 to 12, and Acts. I'll read a couple. Obey your leader and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not grudgingly, for that would be of no advantage to you. That's why I have it up here, because my reading is so bad. But it's we are to obey our leaders. We are to obey those in authority. And more verses. Next one, harder for me. Noah waited on God. He didn't go into the ark until God told him to go in. And he didn't come out of the ark until God told him to come out. He was waiting on God. The flood represents God's judgment, God's righteous judgment against sin. But the ark represents His mercy and provision. The ark was a provision. God provided a way of salvation to Noah and his family. And God provides a way of salvation for you and I. We just have to believe. Trust and obey. There ain't any other way. That's the New King James Version. There's no other way. Trust and obey. There's no other way. God's judgment is real, but so is His mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. It's free. The ultimate art is Jesus Christ. We have to go to Jesus and He will save us. Noah and his family had to go in the ark to be saved. We have to go to Jesus to be saved. Jesus is our refuge from judgment. He's the ark. We must respond to His call for salvation and help others see the urgency of turning to Him. We're going here, we have to make a 180-degree turn and go to Jesus. He's there, He's waiting. The flood, as I said, represents judgment. God's judgment is real, but His mercy is also. So, wait on the Lord. When the Lord tells you to do something, and He's telling you to do something right now, He's telling you inside your heart, don't you feel like you haven't got Jesus? And if you're a Christian, are you waiting on the Lord? I run ahead of the Lord lots. Do you run ahead of the Lord? I do. And the Lord, whoa, Ronaldo, take it easy, back up. Wait for me. I mean, it's easy to preach. I can preach this all day long. But it's hard to do. I always enjoy Mondays when I worked in a shoe store, selling shoes and checked shoes. People say, well, what do you do on Sunday? Monday. On Monday I said, I'm here. And Sunday I went to church and I preached. Oh, you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher, but it's harder to do than to it's harder to say than to do. So wait on the Lord. That's what we have to do. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil deeds. We mustn't look at other people. The evil people, sometimes they prosper. That doesn't matter. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to trust him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. He's calling. He's saying, come unto me. Come on. Unto me all ye that labor. That's what he's saying. And he'll give you that rest. Remember, waiting isn't just about what you are hoping for at the end of the wait, but also about what you will become as you wait. God has something for you even in this challenging season. Please read that to yourself, each of you. That is so important. So important. Because as we wait, we learn. As we wait, we grow in the Lord. And he's wanting us to wait. Even though we want to do our own thing. But he's calling each and every one of us to himself. Noah's sacrificed to God. Then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offering to God. The story of Noah reminds us that even in times of great judgment and chaos, God's people are called to live faithfully, trust him, trust his mercy, and wait on his promise. Wait on his promise. We too live in a world facing judgment. But through Christ, we have the ark of salvation and the hope of restoration. On Christ, my solid rock. He's the rock. You can depend upon him. Romans 12:11 says, appeals to you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He wants our time. He wants our possession, our energies. He wants our talent, tithes, and time. He wants all of this. We have to give our bodies to him completely. Lord, you know what I say every morning when I get out of bed? Even if I'm drowsy, and once my feet hit the rug, I say, Usame. That's what I want. Usame. You know what that means? That means use me, Lord. Usame. That's what I want. I want God to use me. Every morning. Usame. Usame. But I have to be ready. I have to be willing. I have to be obedient. I have to wait. And I have to sacrifice my time. And Noah did those things. That's why I love the story of Noah. And thank you for asking me to speak on it. Because judgment is coming. And that's so important. Walking with God. The Hebrew word is, or the Greek word, alak. And it means continually to be conversant, to exercise or to follow. We are to follow, we are to walk with God. Because he listens to God. Because he, Noah, listened to God and trusted God. The question I have, do you listen to him? Do you trust him? If you do, God will show you favor in everything in life. I've been to 75 different countries. And you know, God has always been with me. And some of those airplanes in some of those countries, you know, they're not Goma Zaire. Some of them are very dangerous. Lots of problems. And yet God was with me. God will be with you too if you ask Him. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and spend time with him." He wants you to see him. Noah was called by God for a special mission to warn the world of the coming judgment of the flood. His message was that the world was going to be destroyed by water. His mission to proclaim the warning message and to prepare the people for a coming judgment. Noah preached for 120 years. 120 years and no one got saved. 120 years and nobody got converted. 120 years and nobody accepted his message. But he kept preaching, kept building. I said, this story is shocking to me. It's a challenge. This is a real challenge to me. Noah prayed for 120 years and didn't have one conversion. But he kept praying, preaching. God gives the increase. You and I have been called to both give forth the special message. You have a message. If you know the Lord, you are called of God to give the message. There's some wonderful things back there on the table. Tracts, books, things. Take them and give them out this week. As believers in Christ, we are all called to witness and share God's greatness to those around us. What does it mean to be a witness for Christ? Why is it important? And how do you go about witnessing to others about the good news? Well, just like Noah. Just like Noah, who has to tell people that the judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. According to the Bible story of Noah's Ark, a total of 8 human boarded the ark. Noah, his wife, and the 3 sons, Sam, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. 8 people. All the others were perished. But Noah was faithful. He listened to God. He obeyed God. He trusted God. He sacrificed to God. While the Bible does not explain, state the exact time it took Noah to build the ark, it's estimated to have taken about 75 years. 75 years. That's what the scientists and the people who study these kind of things. 75 years. How many houses could you build in 75 years here in Vancouver? I mean, you need patience. And sometimes God asks us for patience. Now, Noah waited 7 days after entering the ark before the flood began, because God told him to. So he waited on the Lord. The rain fell constantly for 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, this is a wonderful story of a man who was obedient to God. And it's a challenge for every one of us to be obedient. I mean, to take so long to build it, to wait on the Lord, and then you have to wait and wait and wait. Lord, when do we get in? When's it going to happen? There's no rain. There's no clouds. There's nothing. Ain't nothing. No water. Why are we doing this, Lord? Oh, this is a stupid thing to do, Lord. Look around us. Land, land, land. No, no, no water. Noah lived for 950 years. Of course, at that time, it was a little bit different. But he was faithful. He was faithful. And that's what we are called to do. How did people in Noah's days respond to the warning of God's coming judgment? The same way there is parting today. I preached on the corners many times here in Vancouver. I stood on this train station, the SkyTrain station, giving New Testaments. Some have been converted, some not. But we are not to count how many are converted. We are to do what is faithful to the Lord. So I trust that you will be challenged by this message. I trust that you will look at this when you get all the 4 points, go over them, and just see where you're at. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with Jesus? Is he your best friend? Can you sing, I love him better every day? I love him better every day. I sing it in my car many times, driving down, I love you better every day. I sometimes would drive down the road and I say, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of Noah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just the example we have of a man of God. A man that did what you told him to do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the love and the kindness of our God. And thank you, Heavenly Father, he's waited. And he's waiting for people here, if they don't know you, to come to you. And us who know you, Heavenly Father, that we'll live according as an example of Noah. Bless this message. Help it to resonate in our minds. Help us when we get home to rethink it and re-examine it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.